Amen. Thank you, praise team. I'd like you to take a Bible and open it up with me to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And you definitely want to be there. We want you to follow along with us. There's our main scripture is from that, and we'll also be looking at a few other scriptures right there close. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Here's the secret. If you find 1 Corinthians, it's right next to it. 2 Corinthians. All right, 2 Corinthians. It's in the New Testament. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, or you don't have a Bible, grab the one out of the pew rack in front of you, and you can open it up there. And if you do that, you're on page 805. Oh, no, not 805. 807. 807. So that's even easier. If you don't have a Bible at home, would you do me a favor? And that Bible in the pew rack right there in front of you, just take it, open it to that front page, and write your name in it right there. And it's yours. And I want you to take it home with you, because it's important to us that every household has a copy of God's Word in it. So that would make us happy as can be if you would take that home and use that as your own. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we are dealing with the idea of generosity. Generosity is something that we've been looking into God's Word about. What does it mean? It seems to be throughout Scripture that generosity is the defining characteristic of God's people. In fact, we've found over the last couple weeks that generosity is the defining characteristic of God. And so here we are looking into God's Word, finding out how can we become more generous people? How can we become people who are known for their generosity? And so, of course, this week is an incredible week. It's Thanksgiving. You know, people say, well, what about Thanksgiving? Pastor Mike, you're going to preach about Thanksgiving. Well, I can say this about it right now, that there's a whole lot of thanks going on. There's a lot of thanks out there. And, you know, it doesn't take long to have thank yous. And you might hear thank yous all the time. Maybe we live in a very polite society, really. I mean, I know on the Beltway at times you think that we don't. But we do live in a pretty polite place where you hear thank you a lot. There's plenty of thanks out there. And that's important to realize. But a thank you, you might find that to be something that you hear a lot. In fact, you open the door, thank you very much. You get your change at the Kmart or whatever, thank you very much. Well, thank you. No, thank you. Thank you. You go to a four-way stop and everybody's there and everybody forgets the rules at a four-way stop. So they go, you go. No, you go. Then you go. Then they both go. And then, okay. Yeah. Thank you. This means thank you. There's other emotions, but we'll just do the thank you one. The thank you. You know, thank you very much. Thank you. You know, there's thank yous all over the place. And as we approach Thanksgiving, we're going to find out that there's thanks, plenty of thanks. Thanks receiving. Thanks keeping. Thanks saying. Thanks eating. But there's not a whole lot of thanksgiving. And the Bible tells us that generosity is the natural way to express thanks. In other words, giving is actually the way to express thanks. It begins with a word, thank you, but then it shows with attitude, it shows with gift giving is something that's why we have the word thanksgiving. And so I think that although we have thank yous all over the place, we do have a lack of the spirit of thanksgiving. So I'm going to challenge you to be generous at Thanksgiving. Generous with your thanks, showing people your thanks through how you give of yourself and how you give of your thanks. So let's talk about this attitude of generosity. Before we get to the scripture today, I want to remind you that we talked about this wisdom of giving, which is in the Bible. In Proverbs 11, it says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will refresh himself. We find that in the Bible, when we are givers, when we are generous with who we are and with our time and everything else about us, we find that it refreshes us. Now, those of you who are givers, who tend to give more, you know what it's like when you give a gift. When you're really excited about it, how it refreshes you. Giving, true generosity is something that's focused on others. It's not focused on what you're going to get back. Well, I'll give you this, so you give me that. So it's something that's definitely selfless. We also talked in the last couple of weeks about how it's a difference in attitude of our view of the world. In other words, it's stewardship versus ownership. And God owns everything. God owns everything. The percent of what God owns on the earth is 100. He owns 100%. And you own 0%. God owns 100, you own 0. If you add that up, it's 100. And it's all God's. Everything in your pocket, everything that you're wearing today, everything, again, that you drove here and where you go and park it, it all belongs to God. It's all God's stuff. Stewardship is recognizing that we are in this world as stewards of what God has given us. He has entrusted us with everything that you have control over, and he said, here's some of my stuff. See what you can do with it. And that's our challenge. That's what stewardship is all about. It's about giving, God giving our stuff. Now, you know, sometimes when we think of stewardship, we think about money a lot. And we're going to talk about money because that is part of what stewardship is. God gives us money. We are so blessed here. But I want you to understand that God, stewardship or giving or dealing with your money is something, generosity is something God wants for you, not something God wants from you. And we tend to think about that. You know, you hear the people, oh, the church just wants your money. The church doesn't want your money, doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your money. It's already his money. You just have it. He's just entrusted it to you. So we just have to remember that as we go through this time. Now, God has, of course, set the example. And we talked about in Ephesians, it says that in chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, follow God's example just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. And we know the John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. It's just so simple. This is what God has done. God is a giver. He's a giver. And we want to spread that message because God gives abundantly. How does he give? He gives abundantly and sacrificially. He doesn't stop. That's contrary to what most people think about God today. They think of God as a God who holds back, who has this corral of blessings. And if you say the right magic word, or maybe you say the right amount of prayer, or you go to church this many amount of times and you don't miss, or this is how much money, then God will bless you. Maybe he'll throw a blessing at you. But the Bible tells us a different picture of God. It paints the picture of God that he is a God who has, definitely has a corral of blessings ready to pour them upon you. And he has already begun, but he wants to continue to do that. And that happens when he senses your level of generosity. How should we give? We talked about this last week in 2 Corinthians 9. It says this verse, how should we give? Right there, what have you decided in your heart to give? Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, we talked about should we give reluctantly? Obviously not. You don't give because somebody makes you give or out of compulsion because you think that's a rule, I've got to give, so I'm going to give. But you give cheerfully. We also mentioned that Greek word is hilaros, which means give hilariously to God. How many do that? How many give in a way that is just hilarious? You know, I remember a message not too long ago. We talked about three cheers for the offering. How many of you all are thinking, yay, it's the offering time? Oh, yeah. Pass those plates. Can we do it again? Let's do that again. You know, it's like singing that great praise song. Let's sing that chorus one more time. How many do that with the offering? Can we pass those plates one more time? I've seldom heard that. Actually, I've never heard that. Can we pass the plates one more time? It's hilarious. We want it. We enjoy giving. We enjoy giving. Do you want to be a part of what God's doing in this world around us? I do. Well, the offering is one of the ways that we do that. Not only offering our gifts and our monies, but also our talents and everything. So let me give you a quick review. This isn't in your notes, and you might want to track along with your purple sheet here. This is from last week, the principles of giving. Just want to give you a quick reminder. The Bible tells us that that what you seed is what you get. What you seed is what you get. And it's the investment principle. It says that what you sow, you reap. In other words, if you're not giving anything, if you're not investing anything, and this is a very common principle, isn't it? If you don't invest anything, how are you going to expect to get anything out of it? And that's just like coming to church or ministering to people in your neighborhood or whatever. If you don't give out, some people sit in their house all day long and they wonder why their neighbors, and they complain about their neighbors not talking to them. But they're not out there talking to their neighbors. You understand? What you seed is what you get. What you put out there, that determines. So it's the giving that determines. It's an investment principle. Also, the heart principle. We said that seeding is believing. No, when you give to what you believe in. Well, that makes sense. If you believe in what God is doing, if He has your heart and your soul, if He has, then you want what He wants. You want to invest in what He's investing in. You want to do what God wants to do. Your treasure follows your heart. The sufficient supply principle is that God has all things, so He has everything you need for all the times, for everything you're going to do. Sufficient supply. And then the abound principle we talked about, and that is that you're free to give. You're free to give. You have so much abundance that you're free to just give it away, because every time you give something away, God's going to give you more. Because the more generous you are, the more God's going to bless you with. And the more He's going to bless you with, the more you're going to be able to give away. And the more you give away, the more He's going to bless you with. And you see the process? And we become a pipeline of God's blessing to the world around us. We become a way that God blesses others by blessing you. And the blessing for you is it flowing through you, not getting all capped up. Last week we talked to the children. We said, are you a Tupperware Christian or a colander Christian? You know, I mean a container, because Tupperware people got mad at me last week. All right, a container Christian, where we fill it up and it fills up and we put the cap on and we keep it real tight and fresh and we put it on a shelf. And every once in a while when somebody says, why, we should count our blessing, we get our box out and we look at it and it's all full and it's just wonderful. But God says, that's not the kind of person I want you to be. I want you to be the kind of believer that's a sieve, a colander, and it just flows in you and flows out, and I can just keep on pouring. You see, if I'm a container, at some point I'm going to fill up. But if I'm a colander, He just keeps pouring, keeps pouring, keeps pouring, and it just goes right through. And other people are blessed. So this is a lot to hang out. How do you measure up? Paul said right here in 2 Corinthians 8, in 2 Corinthians 8:8, he says, I'm testing the sincerity of your love. Love shows itself by giving. You cannot love without giving. And the example of Jesus in 2 Corinthians 8:9, which is the very next verse after that verse, says that Jesus, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor. He gave everything so that through His poverty you might become rich. So, today, I said, we're going to talk a little bit about our material possessions. We've talked about our gifts. We've talked about our talents, our time. We've talked about these kind of things. But what about your material possessions? What kind of giver are you? What is the category of giving that you're in? I know there's people here today that maybe you are somebody who's in category one. You've just really never given to the church. You're just not in that habit. You didn't grow up in the church. You didn't really hear about it, so you don't necessarily give to it. You've got everybody has a lot of bills to pay, a lot of things to do. Maybe you're in that category. Maybe you're in the category of those who just give a little bit. When you can, you give some. That's good. Or maybe you're in the category where you're somebody who gives a tithe. You've heard of that? Some of you growing up in church, you know that word tithe. Just basically, it means tenth. And it's in the scripture. It's in Malachi 3, verse 10. It talks about bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse, and that God asks us to tithe, give 10% of everything that you have. Give to the Lord. Give to people who need it. Give to the kingdom work. Maybe you're somebody who does that. Or maybe you're somebody who does more. We as a church try to set the example. Not only as a church, yes, we survive on the offerings that come in through this church, But also, we as a church try to set the pace. So a lot of churches, they say 10% of their income goes to support missions. And that's really good. That's a tithe of what comes into the church. Well, this year, in 2014, we're going to give 14% to missions. And we're going to go up with every time the year goes up. 2014 is 14, 2015 is 15, 2016 is 16. And we're going to go until we're 100% going to just give it all. Maybe. What would that be, 2,100? Yeah, so, okay, 2,100. I'm not going to be here, but I hope you all are doing that. But anyway, that's what we're all about here. That's what we're about. We're about giving out. This church is not a place, it's not a bank, you know? It's not a bank. In fact, we don't want anything left anytime. We want to continue to be an instrument that God uses, a pipeline of His blessing into the community, into our missionaries. You need to understand that. That's the philosophy here at Parkwood. I'm not saying it's the philosophy at every church, unfortunately, but it is our philosophy here. And I believe it goes along with the Scripture. So let's look at this Scripture today, because as we talk about this, I want you to just see where we are. And starting in verse 10, I'm just going to read to the end of that chapter. It's just five verses at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now he who supplies, talking about God, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Did you notice that? I made sure we had the word thanksgiving in this weekend. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to this time of just looking at a few verses, I pray that it would encourage us to be even more generous. We know that many of us are giving all that we can, and that's wonderful. Is there more we can do? What else can we do to be generous to those in our community, to those in ministry, to our church, to our friends, to our families? How can we be known as givers? Lord, we know that we're never more like You than when we give like You from a cheerful heart, investing in the things that are everlasting. Thank You, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so as you look at these verses, there's just a few things I want to say. And the first is, we need to ask the question, who is your supplier? Because honestly, if anybody's going to ask me for anything, or if I'm going to give anybody anything, the first thing I do is look at my supply. Right? I mean, if somebody says, comes to my house and says, hey, can I borrow a cup of sugar? I need to go to the cupboard, look, and see how much sugar I have. Because I may not have any sugar. And so immediately, whenever we're asked to be generous people, we need to say, well, what do we have? Let's take an inventory. Who's our supplier? And in this particular passage, we find out that we need to get to a point in our lives as believers that we believe that God is our supplier. He is our supplier. It's not the government. It's not our employer. It's not even our family. It is God who supplies our needs. And guess what? He has everything. It's an unlimited supply. So I automatically go to the cupboard and I say, I have plenty. What can I give? How can I give? Who is your supplier? If you are thinking that your checkbook is your supplier, if you are thinking that your job is your supplier, and all of these things, then you are already setting yourself up to limit what you can do and how you can invest in the kingdom work. God provides. He is our supply. It is through Him, and it's all from Him. Everything that we need, it is not limited. It is unlimited. So the first thing, if our supplier is God, and I hope that it is, I hope that you've given Him all of your whole life, and that you can say to yourself, I am totally invested in God. Not only my life, but everything that I own. And I don't own anything, but everything that God has given me. He is your supply. The second thing is that God is an increaser. Did you see that? It says there, and now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your storehouse of seed. Now, I want you to look at that carefully. It says it'll increase your storehouse of seed. Now, most of us don't go to the silo and eat the seed. The seed is what we put out there so that it comes back. God continues to provide for you things that you can get out there, that you can seed for others. And that is important to realize. God is a God who increases. So the more you give, what is He going to do? Give you more, not less, right? You're not going to run out. God is going to continue to give you more. The more you give, He'll give it and increase it. So here's the deal. If you're a little bit afraid of hard work, don't be doing a whole lot for God, because as soon as He sees you're good to go, He's going to give you more. As soon as you start giving and get that generous heart, He's going to give you more. Because He's just looking for people, His creation, to pour His blessings through. He's looking around. Who can I trust? Who can I give more stuff to? Because it's going to go right through them into the places I want it to go. He is searching for that, and He will increase it. So He supplies, He increases, and then God, it says, rewards. It says He multiplies the harvest. He says, not only will I give it to you, not only will I increase the seed, but I will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. In other words, He multiplies the results. He enriches you so that you can be generous. There are some of you that might be reading a Bible that has a translation on that passage that says that it, instead of enriches you, He makes you rich. He makes you rich so that you can be generous in every situation. Wow. I mean, if the Bible's true, and it is, that means I can't outgive God. I can't outgive God. And He's going to multiply everything that happens. He brings the increase and He multiplies it. So then He describes right here, if you're right there in that passage, again, in verse 12, He says, this is a service you perform, and He gives a reason that we're blessed. Because I want you to know today that every blessing that you have, every joy that you enjoy, all the peace, all the grace, all the mercy, everything that you have in your life is given to you for a reason. And it's given to you so that you can be a blessing to others. We are never supposed to hold anything tightly in our hands. Blessed for a reason. What are the reasons? First of all, to supply. He says, now this service in verse 12 that you perform is not only supplying the needs of Lord's people. So first of all, it's supplying the needs of God's people. We talked last week that in our world today, we look at people that are around the globe. There's people that are starving to death. There's people who don't have enough water. There's people who don't have a home to live in. There's people who don't have the things that we have. And we have so much. I want you to know, once again, that our world's problems are not a problem of how much stuff is here. Well, there's just so many people, there's not enough food for everybody. That's not true. Well, there's not enough water for everybody. That's not true. Well, there's not enough clothing. That's not true. Not enough housing. That's not true. It's a distribution problem, not a supply problem. And that means that we are a part, the kingdom, the way God designed the world around us is so that we are a part of supplying the needs to His people. Now, isn't God funny that way? God would use us to bless others. Why doesn't He just do it? He would be much better at it, wouldn't He? I mean, most of us probably on the rate, on a scale, are pretty not very good blessers. Pretty horrible blessers. Okay? We bless expecting things in return, or we just bless like we think about how God blessed, just a little bit at a time. And God wants us to be, God's a blesser who just, remember last week I said he's a sloppy blesser, not a sloppy dresser, sloppy blesser. He slops it all over everybody. He's the one who pours it into you and it goes all over the place and you go, no. And there's on the floor, it's on people who get near you. God just blesses that way. He's just an abundant blesser. But we don't usually bless that way. Why would he pick us? God, if I was God, I'd be up there going, just let me do it myself. Just move out of your way. Because that's how we do. You want somebody to help you, and then you go, it's easier for me to do it myself. I'm sure God might think of that way, but he doesn't, because God loves us and wants us to be involved in his kingdom work. Do you want to be a part of that? That's what generosity does. It involves you in kingdom work. It lives out your faith. And it brings glory to God when we do it. Did you see that? And it said there that not only are you meeting the people's needs around you, which is important, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. People are thanking God. Well, that's kind of a bummer. I want them to thank me. No, we got to give in a way that they thank God. We're trying to point them to God. And then what he said lastly is number three, in your notes, to give testimony to your faith. He says, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God in the obedience that accompanies your confession. In other words, when you give, people see that your faith is genuine. You're not tied to the things of this world. You're thinking about other things. You're thinking about people. You're loving people. God so loved the world that he gave. We should so love the world that we give. It proves your faith. It's another test of your faith in God. We say it like this when we're talking about where people's heart. Put your money where your mouth is. Right? Now I know if you're really serious about it. Why would that be any different when it comes to the Lord? Put your money where your mouth is. Are you investing in the Lord? Are you putting your money where your mouth is? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. But where your heart will be, that's where your treasure will be. It works both ways. And God asks us to invest in his kingdom work. Some of that's through a church. Every penny that's given to this church goes into kingdom work. This is the best investment around. Let me tell you something. You want to invest in eternal kingdom work? Invest here. But there's other places, other ministries, other things God puts on your heart that where you give and you go through your closet and you give some of those things that you don't need but that you know other people need. And you go through your pantry and you look at some of the food and how much overabundance of food and you give to those who need. And we do that and we have opportunities to do that. But are you that person? Are you generous with your stuff? It's how your faith is measured. Your generosity. So where are you today? What kind of giver are you? What's your category? Are you somebody who's never given before? You just never really thought about it. I challenge you. Start giving whatever you can. Invest in things that you know are kingdom. Maybe you're somebody who gives a little bit, but you can give a little bit more. We should always be challenging ourselves. I give the tithe, preacher. I don't want to give any more than a tithe. Really? I want to give everything. It's all God's. So what are you doing with it? How can we get more involved? How can you raise the bar? Whatever you're giving, how can you become more of a giver? I'll give you an example. I know a young family, and I talked a little bit ago about that Lottie Moon gift, Lottie Moon gift, which goes to missionaries, that really, our church cooperates with that, but this goes out of our church. It's not in our hand. Anything that goes in this envelope goes to the missionaries and doesn't stay here at all, every penny. And churches all over the world do this. 50% of those missionaries are supported through this one-time Christmas offering. Our church has been very generous in that, and I hope you will too. But I know a family who says, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to give sacrificially and abundantly to Lottie Moon this year. And one family, the father took a second job, a little part-time job, delivering pizzas, and he said, I'm going to give every penny that I make in this second job through the Christmas season, I'm going to do this all for the Lottie Moon gift. Not taking a second job to pay my bills. And the family was all in on it. Dad's going to be out a couple of hours each night, you know. It's just a little small part-time thing. And he's going to give every penny to Lottie Moon. And we think, that's crazy. What kind of nut is that? A generous one. A generous one. Somebody who gives of his time. That involves time, talent, and money. Now, that inspires me. I think, you know, too many of us, when we give, we just give easily. Well, what do I have left over? Well, whatever I have left, I'm gonna give. It's like when they say, we need some clothes for the clothes closet. We go through and we say, what is it I don't want? Right? And we pull out everything we don't want or can't use. And even some of that we don't give away. Well, this shirt, it's been hanging here for 5 years. But if I lose weight, I'll fit in there. So I'm going to keep that one because I love that shirt. I'm going to keep that. It's perfectly, but one day I'm going to, you know, I got news for you. I told this to the Wednesday night group on Wednesday night. You know, if you lose weight, God will get you another shirt. All right? If there's clothes in your closet that are hanging there and you're not wearing, they're somebody else's clothes. How many people go to their closet and go, I'm going to pick out my favorite thing that still fits and still awesome, and I'm going to give it away? See, we don't think that, do we? We don't think that when we say, hey, when we go to the pantry and we say, hey, our food pantry, we're going to help some folks this week, and we need food pantry, and we need people to bring in some food. You go through how many people go to the pantry and go, I'm going to pick my most favorite food that we just bought, and that's the one I'm going to bring in. No. You look through the back and you look for that can of lima beans or something like that nobody's eating, or something that's just a few days short of expiring, and you bring it in and you give it to those who are less fortunate than you. Now, you know, nothing's wrong with giving stuff that way. But friends, how many of us, our attitude, you see what I'm saying? How many of you go and you say, I'm going to go to the store. I'm not going to go get them the dregs out of my pantry. I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to buy a bag of groceries, fresh, new, the best stuff, stuff that I would like to eat. And that's what I'm going to take to the food pantry. They need some help with the clothes closet. I'm not going to give them my old ripped up pair of jeans that I don't need anymore. I'm going to go and I'm going to buy a brand new pair of jeans. I'm just going to put it in the pantry. How many people do that? You understand? We're switching the way we think. I'm not talking about how much we give, how much money you give, how many clothes you give, I'm talking about the attitude of giving of your best. That's generosity. That's the spirit of generosity that defines us as believers. So let me give you a practical to-do list. Get inspired. Get excited. Can you get excited about giving? Just give me a call. Send me an email. I'll help you. All right? I got some great ideas, but so do all the people around you, and you've got better ones than me. How can you get excited about it? Come up with creative ways to be a giver. Take an inventory of how God has blessed you and all the stuff that you have, and get out there, get to work, invest in people, and be a blessing. Because that's what we're called to be. And when we start being a blessing, people will go, man, this God thing is real. These people really believe in something beyond this world. And people will come to know Jesus. I just want to close with the last phrase. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's the only place in the Bible that word is used. Unspeakable, indescribable, have not words. That's what that means. It's like Paul made up a word when he's writing it. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What gift is that? The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:8 says, it's salvation and grace is what gets you into the kingdom. It's not by works. It is a gift of God. The gift is through Jesus Christ. I don't know, today, maybe you're here today, and you're somebody who, you love all this generosity stuff, but you don't have it in here. Because you've never really found that generous God, the one who gave up his son for you, the one who loves you so much that he gave everything abundantly, sacrificially to you. You can come to know him today. Maybe you're just somebody who needs to say a prayer this morning and say, Lord, I need to be a better giver. I need to be more generous. Maybe we need to pass offering plates again. Yeah? How many of you want to? Yeah, don't raise your hands. Don't spoil my record. Nobody's ever asked for that. All right? But maybe you're somebody who's looking for a church home. And you're looking for a place that's generous. You're looking for a place where you know for a fact, you know that whatever you invest here in time, talents, energy, is going to kingdom work. That's going to change eternity. I said at the beginning of this service, we're here for this moment right now. But you know this moment right now can change eternity. Can it change it in your life? It can. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you do for us, for revealing yourself to us, for being a giver, a blesser, for, Lord, all the things you give us. We are overwhelmed. If we did take an inventory, it would take us forever. So may we just start by being better at being generous with our love, with our thanksgiving, with the things that you've given us to be in charge of. Lord, let us not be stingy. Let us not hold on so tightly to the things you give us. But may we be that pipeline of your blessing to others. Father, now in this time, I just ask that you would be with each of us. Help us to make the decisions that each of us needs to make to draw closer to you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.